Reading again from Titus, the third chapter, and verses 8 and 14, and continuing the series of lessons on the subject of good works. This will be the fourth in that series, and we hope to complete it in one more message after this. The subject of good works and their importance and their relationship to our salvation in the gospel. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And then in verse 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. In the first lesson or message in the subject of good works, we examine the things that were necessary in order for a work to be classified as good, the circumstances involved. And the first was that of it must be in accordance with the revealed, commanded will of God in the Scriptures. And secondly, it must spring from love toward God. If a work is done and it's not out of love to God, it is not, in a biblical sense, a good work. And thirdly, it must be done in faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then fourthly, it must be done for the proper motive, the glory of God. In the second message in the series, we looked at the causes of good works. The first one being the efficient cause is God Himself, who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The influential cause of a person's good work is the grace of God working in their life. And the living cause is their vital union to the Lord Jesus Christ. The internal spiritual cause is faith. And the external instrument of good works is the preaching of the Word of God. So this is the cause or the spring from which all good actions flow. Then in the third message, we looked at the nature of good works. And we examined that from a twofold aspect. If you recall, first, that the best of works are but imperfect. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is no such thing as a perfect work done here in this life. This is due to the fact that we looked at, because the will of God is not perfectly known to us. Then secondly, the spring from which our love and our faith flows is imperfect. No person has a perfect faith, and no man has a perfect love for God. Hence, there can be no perfect work that is done. And then the third reason why there can be no such thing as a perfect good work, and that is due to the indwelling nature of sin yet within the life of a Christian. Now, another thing that we touched on last week is that works cannot be in any way interpreted as meritorious in the eyes of God. That is, whatever we do, we cannot in any way interpret it that it will merit us a favor or a blessing from God. In that, after all that we have done for God, we have but done our duty. We are but unprofitable servants, so that everything we do for God in no way makes God indebted for us, to us, but we in turn owe it unto Him. So we are the ones who are in debt and not God. Hence, it cannot merit a blessing from God Himself. Now tonight, I'd like for us to move on and examine the subjects or the people who do good works. Who is it that is capable of doing a good work? Now the text emphasizes that a man of God, a minister of the gospel, a teaching shepherd, well, that's the role of what a bishop is in a local congregation, is a teaching shepherd. Then what is his role? And one thing is that he is to keep before his people the importance of maintaining good works in their lives. And this is no contradiction between the doctrines of salvation by grace and the importance of emphasizing to himself and to his sheep the importance of maintaining good works. Well, who then is it that is capable of performing a good work? And we answer, anybody who is unregenerate is incapable of performing a good work in the sight of God. Not all men are capable of performing good works. That is due to a state of impotence within their very nature. They have a nature which is at enmity with God. If you would turn, hold your location now in Titus, but go back to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, for a moment, and there we see that which the apostle brings out in chapter 8 and verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. But are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, this divides men into two categories. You're either in a spiritual state or you're in a natural state which you receive from your physical birth. Any man who has not undergone the transformation of the second birth is living according to the dictates of his natural enmity toward God. And he cannot be subject to the law of God. Hence, he is incapable of doing any good work that is pleasing unto the Lord. Even the plowing of the wicked is described in the Bible as evil in the sight of God. And yet someone hears this and they say, well, if that's the case, then I just might as well go out and live in sin even more than I'm living tonight. And you'll be judged by God even more than you are living tonight. No, it is not that because that you are unable to do anything good, that then you just go out and live more wicked so that because it won't make any difference, for God will judge all men outside of Christ by their works, by their deeds. And so hell will only become more intense for the more wicked person. And the worse he becomes, the more he will merit the wrath of God. Well, we found out last Sunday night that while eternal life is not merited, eternal damnation is merited. The wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So salvation is unmerited, but damnation is merited. A person goes to hell because they have merited the wrath of God, but no one goes to heaven because they have merited heaven. It is a free gift of God. So that there is none, then, that doeth good, no, not one, Romans 3:12 would say. Now, that's a very stern edict upon all of those who are outside of Christ. There's none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So any man outside of Christ who is in the flesh, who does not partake of a spiritual nature, is incapable of doing good works. Then who is it that is capable of doing good works? First, it must be a good man. Only a good person can do good works. Let's go now to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. If a work is to be called a good work, then only a good person can do a good work. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33, where our Lord gives us a course in botany, or in here illustrating the nature of a plant or of a tree, and then he likens it unto human nature. And he says in verse 33 of Matthew 12, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" You see his analysis there? How can an evil man do good things? Only a good tree can bring forth good fruit. An evil tree, or a bad tree, a rotten tree, cannot bring forth fresh fruit. It can only bring forth that which is sour and that which is unpleasing to the taste. "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." So there must be a good tree produced in order to bring forth good fruit. And beloved, if we understand our Bibles correctly, only God, the Creator, can make a tree good. And only God can take an evil man and make him a good man. So then that tells us then that it is only God then which can truly be the cause of anybody doing a good work. In order for a person to do a good work, they must be first changed from an evil man into a good man. Go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 16. Jesus is describing here the nature of a false prophet, how to identify a false spokesman of God. In verse 16, he says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." That is the nature of the false prophet or the false spokesman of God. You don't go out and gather grapes off of a thorn bush. And you don't gather figs off of thistles. But you expect to find them off of healthy plants. So Jesus said, you watch an individual's lifestyle. And only a good person can bring forth good fruit. An evil man cannot bring forth good fruit. But since the Bible makes it so clear that all are born in Adam and come from Adam with an evil nature, and that the Ethiopian cannot change his skin and the leopard cannot change his spots, then an evil man who's accustomed to doing evil cannot do good. And that was brought out in the Old Testament prophet. So it must be the case that God must work so as to make a person a good person in order for good works to flow out of that individual's life. Now the second thing which must take place, or who is capable in order to perform a good work, and that being that a person must first be purified and sanctified by the grace of God in order to do good works. Go with me now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 2. This is a passage which we make often reference to. Ephesians 2. And we are well familiar with the nature of the tree that is described here in human nature in verses 1 through 7. Of how that we were born as children of wrath, and God quickened us when we were in that state and made us alive and has raised us up together in heavenly places in Christ, for it was by His grace that we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves, a gift of God. Then in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in good works, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So as we touched on in the message this morning, is that there must be a creative act of God. He must make the bad tree good before it can produce good fruit. God must be a creator. And if any man be in Christ and is placed in Christ by the grace of God, then he is a new creation, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In the book of Titus chapter 2, this chapter back from our text, we find that this work is done by God through what is called the sanctifying or the purifying ministry of Christ in what He came to do for His people. He came to purchase spiritual gifts. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So the ministry of Christ in coming to redeem a people is that He might purify those people into individuals that manifest a zeal for the things of God so as to please Him. Now having seen that then, no man is capable of doing a good work who has not experienced the redeeming, purifying ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to their life by the ministry of the Spirit. God must make the tree good, and He has done this through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ applied through the ministry of the Spirit. Back up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, just a book back from the book of Titus. And there we read in verse 19, the previous context of some who have left the faith or distorted the faith so as to produce ungodliness and loose and careless living in the lives of their hearers. In verse 19, the apostle states, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. No one has a biblical justification for believing that they are one of the Lord's if they are practicing a lifestyle of looseness and iniquity. The seal of God of election that is brought out in this passage here in verse 10, where the apostle said He endured all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That seal is a double seal. God knows who His elect are. And let everyone who claims to be one of them be departing from iniquity. So there is to be a transformed life manifesting itself in a commitment to seek to know and to do the will of the Lord. Now follow on in verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So here there is this sanctifying ministry of the grace of God which has appeared to men, which teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously and soberly in this life. And if this is our design and intent, that now that we have come to know the Lord through the ministry of the Spirit, is that we might be prepared for the Master's service, to do whatever He commands us and asks of us to do. Now, as we have touched upon, in order for a person to have the strength and the ability to do so, they must have experienced a work of the Spirit of God internally within their inward man. But this has been promised. Go back in the Old Testament to the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. This has been promised. Somebody says, well, I don't have the strength to do good works. You're right and you're wrong if you're a Christian. You don't have it in your eye. That's true. But you have it in Christ. For He is not only our righteousness, He is our strength as well. He not only in His atonement has purchased a righteousness wherein we are made acceptable in the sight of God, but He has in that atonement purchased gracious ability to enable a human being to do and perform good works acceptable in the sight of the Father. So we cannot just say, well, it's my old nature. We are to seek the Lord, just as a lost man is to seek the Lord in coming to Christ. He has no power to seek, but he is instructed to seek. And the child of God has no power to perform good works in and of himself. But he ought to understand that he can say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the one who loved me and gave himself for me. So there is an I and there's a not I. We cannot of our own I perform good works, but we can through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, for He's not only our righteousness, He is our strength. Ezekiel chapter 36, in verse 25. The promise of the new covenant that God's going to make with His people in the coming of the Messiah. And the Messiah has already come. This new covenant has been ratified with the blood of Christ. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be what? You shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. There's pardon. The promise of the new covenant, pardon. In verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. There's ability. In verse 25, we have pardon with God, which ushers in righteousness, acceptance with the Father. And in verses 26 and 27, we have gracious ability imparted to fallen, sinful nature, to wherein the law of God is written internally in the heart, in the inward man, so that there is a restored desire to seek out and to please the God who we have come to know in His revelation. So there is then not only righteousness in the atonement, there is a restored ability in the atonement, and that in that ability, as applied by the ministry of the Spirit, is where we inherit the strength to perform good works. Now let's look in Titus, our text again, in verse 8. Titus 3 and verse 8. Who is it that is capable of performing a good work? It is only those who, next of all, have saving faith in God. Only a person can perform a good work is a person who has come to saving faith in God. Titus 3 verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. These are people who have come to faith in Christ. And it was not by their own works, but in verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now then, this is a faithful saying. So what do? Sit down and listen to faithful sayings? No. We now, if we have embraced this faithful saying in the gospel, are to seek to please God in the performance of good works as commanded by God for us to so do. And this can only be done by the true child of God. Let's go back again to the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. The 45th chapter. And verse 24. This is a great passage of Scripture here. I'm going to read verse 22, but oh, a precious passage containing the gospel in the Old Testament. Look unto me, be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. What are they going to swear? Surely one shall say, in the Lord have I righteousness and what? Strength. Two things there that men need. I need, as a fallen sinner in Adam, righteousness to make me acceptable before the throne of God. And secondly, I need strength, a changed nature, to give me the ability to do what God asks me to do. And where am I going to get those things? In the Lord. Look unto Him. Look on. Even to Him shall men come, and all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. Any man who seeks their righteousness and their ability to please God in their self will be ashamed of God's way of righteousness and strength. And they'll not look to the Lord. They'll look to themselves. But those who do look shall be pronounced pardoned. And verse 25 is a passage I'd like to touch on, but I won't do so this evening. Merely read it. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall what? And shall glory. And who are they going to glory in? They're going to glory in the Lord. All of God's chosen people shall be justified. And they will give the glory unto God. And they shall be able to stand in that final day and say, in the Lord I have righteousness. And everything which I have done which is pleasing to God, He gave me the strength and the ability to do it. So I can only glory in my substitute, the Lord, and thus we are exhorted to look unto Him. You feel weak tonight? You feel weak in your performance of your Christian duties? What am I to do, Pastor? Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. You sort of feel naked tonight? Wonder whether or not that you are accepted in the righteous clothing of Jesus Christ? What are you to do? Look to the Lord. And while you're looking, you shall discover righteousness flows to you. And while you're looking, you shall discover strength. It's been an interesting observance in the Bible when people prayed that God has already ordained and help was on the way while they were praying. You ever notice that? It is not our praying that merits help, but it's while we're praying, help is coming. It is not our hearing of the gospel which saves us, but it's while we're hearing that God is pleased to implant strength and grant life. So it is only the good man who has been renewed by the Spirit of God through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ imparting righteousness and strength, who has the capacity to truly perform a good work in the sight of God. All other works are reprobate. by God. Hence, the apostle could say in conclusion tonight in the book of Titus again, he identifies the people who are to be the most sensitive then of doing good works in verse 14, chapter 3. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. Who's the ours? Let those who belong to us as Christians. Let us then be the most sensitive people to please God. Let us then be the ones that if any seek in zeal to please the Lord, let it be us. Isn't it somewhat shameful to all of us? The zeal which the false cults manifest in serving their God. Paul lamented it even in his own day about his own kinsmen, of how that they going about to establish their own righteousness did not submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. And he said they had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Isn't it interesting to watch the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, day and night, the Moonies, go through a major airport, and they're there selling materials and flowers, giving up their whole lifestyles to serve what they believe to be the truth of God. What a zeal! And yet they're strangers to the working of God's grace because they are working in order to earn their place in God's kingdom. And works cannot do that. Then having established that, if works cannot save after laying that down in the Bible, then the same Bible comes right back and with equal force says to those who have believed in God in the precious gospel, you be diligent to maintain good works. Let ours, God's people, maintain good works for necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. So we can say that we who are that chosen generation, we who are the seed of Israel, we who are that peculiar people, the redeemed of the Lord, and have drunk of that common spirit of grace, and have obtained like precious faith, and are heirs together of the grace of life, then let us exhort ourselves in Christ to the performance of good works which are pleasing unto God. Let's stand together tonight.